Coming down in 3, 2, 1.
All right, welcome in San Diego High School Football Podcast Week 1, and it's a little bit different this time than we usually do. We're going to do a Twitter Spaces this week, a lot of things moving together, and then we're going to save it, record it, and post it later. So all of you guys are joining us live. Thanks for joining us. Everybody that is listening on the podcast, thanks again for joining. This year, I'll be joined with Jeff King. Jeff is a trainer over at Fitness Quest, big high school football fan as well. Wanted to get involved with a little bit of podcasting and spaces. And then I don't know if spacesing is really a word or not. And being involved with broadcasting. So I'm going to let Jeff introduce himself and we'll start getting on our way. Go ahead, Jeff.
Appreciate it, Brady. Yeah, like you said, you know, all about sports, whether it be high school, college, and pro. So I'm just kind of thankful for the opportunity to be joining you over the course of the year and talk some high school football and just share my thoughts and also other people's thoughts that I hear, you know, just from talking to people during the week about the games and just we'll touch on some trending topics throughout the year. But yeah, so I'm excited for the opportunity to kind of just be on this space with you platform and talk about some football. So I'm ready to go.
Yeah, week one or week zero, I should say, was last week. It was a fun week spread over 3 days. It was good to have high school football back. It was earlier than it usually is, of course. You know, it seems to be getting earlier and earlier and earlier. I remember when I used to play, which was 10 years ago now, just had my 10-year high school reunion, make myself feel old. You know, it was like a week before Labor Day. I know before my time, like Labor Day weekend was kind of the scrimmage week or week one. And now we're starting, on August 18th. So, really early, but, it's good to have high school football back in San Diego. I had a lot of games on that first week on Thursday, about 10 of them. And then we had, of course, our main event on Friday and then, a pretty good game on Saturday, which was a game that was on TV. It was on KUSI, which is cool. So a lot of people got to watch that. And then, of course, we got a TV game coming up next or this Saturday on ESPN2. But kind of looking back at last week before we dive into our top 10, Jeff, anything that you know really stood out to you in that first week of high school football?
Let's see. I think let's go in your kind of backyard, something you're familiar with, Cathedral in modern day. How about the Dons, man, putting up a 55 spot on the defending state champs? And I think what really stood out was the fact that you guys, the Dons, threw the ball a lot. And, you know, I was some rumblings that I heard going into the season that you guys were going to throw the ball, and it definitely was evident this past weekend against Modern Day. So very impressive showing there. On the flip side with Modern Day, tough spot for them going into the season, I think, losing all the talent that they did. And pretty much having the same start to the schedule that they had last year, where they started 0-4 on the United, remind people. And it's just a tough spot, you know, because not only did they lose a lot from a talent standpoint, also that people get underrated is the leadership. You know, whenever you win a state title, and they won back-to-back state titles, which is very impressive. I don't care what level you're at. Got to have good leadership, not only from the coaching staff, but from the players. So it's twofold. The guy replaced all that talent that he won. Now you have to replace all the leadership that you lost, such as in Nikhil, Mosley, Shabazz Duncan, all those guys, you know, college. So it's a tough spot. And as you know, they got Carlsbad, you know, on Saturday on the road.
And Jeff started to cut out a little bit and on his internet there. We'll let him regroup. But as Jeff was saying, yeah, it's tough to replace a lot of kids, especially in high school level and kind of, you know, replicate what you did the last 2 years, especially with that senior class that Modern Day had. You know, I'm interested to see how Poway does this season. You know, they beat RB 14-6, a little bit of a low scoring game, but they are replacing a lot of seniors as well. Cal Preps currently has them ranked 11 in the section, and a good win over RB, who's now coached by Eric Weddle. And we kind of talked about that on the talk show last week with John Matthew when he joined us. But you know, a lot of ex NFL guys out there coaching right now. Jeff, before we kind of really talk a little bit more about that. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, Stephen Cooper is not the head coach at St. Augustine, but he's coaching at Saints. And then, Nick Barnett is coaching at Del Norte. Eric Weddle, now the head coach at Rancho Bernardo. And, you know, just even at Cathedral, I got Derek Smith helping me out at the JV level. But a lot of ex NFL guys, a lot of ex Chargers out there coaching the youth. It's pretty fun to see.
It is, and shout out to Coach or Nick Barnett for getting his first win at Del Norte. And I think it's good for the city having ex NFL players, especially if they play for the local team or the former local team, excuse me. Being able to kind of give back, you know, when you have a former. Even college player, there's that instant credibility, right? And that you walk in the door, so they get everyone's attention. And even with that still being said, it's still not easy to build a program, and the challenges that these guys face. But it definitely helps coming in that, you know, they have the experience, they understand what it takes to play at a high level, and the kind of day in and day things that you need to do to become a winner. And it's a process, so. Having someone that's been through that at the highest level definitely helps out. So definitely excited to see these coaches, especially Barnett and Weddle, how their teams progress as the year unfolds.
Let's talk a little bit about Thursday's games. There's 9 games last Thursday. Benito over Castle Park, 34-12. Westview beat Olympian, 35-14. Olympian last minute coaching change at the end of the year, with their head coach leaving. Kind of last minute. Nothing on the coaches on that one. That was kind of a family thing. Army-Navy brought out the show against Orange Glen, 49-0. And then Santana beat Canyon Hills, 40-21. Their starting quarterback, I got the text from Burner before our show. He went Jaden Goldman, starting quarterback for Santana, perfect 13-for-13. And that's a good way to start your high school season there, Jeff, going a perfect 13-for-13. That's tough to do in any offense at any level, especially in high school when a lot of things can go awry on completions. But I want to give a shout out to him there in that first game. University City and LCC, the Costa Canyon beat up on UC, Mission Bay over Christian, 31-19, Morse over Escondido, 22-18. Mount Carmel needed a block PAT to beat Otay Ranch after jumping out to a 21-0 lead. They won 28-27, and then Lincoln went out to Hawaii and played Waianae, and they won 41-0. Out of all those games I mentioned, including that stat I threw out to you, what really stood out in that first week, that Thursday night?
Well, I don't know if it's a good thing, but just the South Bay, the struggles. From a football standpoint, and you know, I live in the South Bay, so
and an Eastlake alum, correct?
Yes, indeed. Class 2001. You know, Eastlake's over the years had success. Right now, they're really struggling. So, a lot of the teams down in this area outside of modern day really struggling to put together a solid program. So, interesting to see how that unfolds throughout the years. Can a couple teams from the South Bay? Outside of Mardé, and even Mardé is going to have their challenges this year with what we talked about earlier. But can a South Bay team or two kind of find their identity and success moving forward this season?
I think Otay Ranch, I think they're in good shape with Coach Burton down there at Otay. He coached with us at Cathedral for a while, and you know he inherited kind of a mess down there, and he's really – done a good job trying to turn it around. I mean, that's a tough loss to the first week of the year to lose by 1 point on a blocked point after attempt. That's a tough way to drop that first game. The other one that really stands out to me, the University City La Costa Canyon game. I think La Costa Canyon is probably going to be have a pretty good season this year, but you know, University City, they got a tough slate, Jeff. I mean, they went last year. You know, competing for a state championship and going deep with a big group of seniors, and with the way that everything plays out in terms of high school football, once you win games like that, you get bumped up, and all of a sudden your schedule gets a lot different. And this season, University City, not only they have La Costa Canyon non-league, but as well as Point Loma, but they got moved up to the Western League, so it's not going to get any easier for the Centurions, who I know are up for the battle, but They got Cathedral, Saints, Lincoln, Madison, and they get to play Scripps Ranch in a non-league game. So that's a tough schedule for the for UC coming off of a really successful year last year.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, with success, obviously, it's a good thing for the program. But like you said, when you have experienced that type of success, especially when you go deep and reach the state level, you do get bumped up. And some people may agree with that. Some people don't. I think from a competitive standpoint, I think the coaches welcome that. But when you have these programs like this, it's hard because you do have turnover. And, you know, there's only a few teams, you know, throughout the nation that can basically what we call reload, right? You know, bring another class and not really miss the beat. But most high school programs, when you have a successful season or two, it's hard. It's hard to keep up that, you know, that momentum, especially if you're not a historical, you know, prestigious type of program. But definitely I see that being a challenge for University City. But like you said, they're going to be game for it. And, you know, at the end of the day, we'll make the team better. You know, and I think you'll see they'll be rewarded towards the end of the season. And I think because playing a tough schedule, it will allow them to develop and be successful towards the end of the season.
Well, it brings up an interesting topic because when you start looking at like the way they do the playoffs, and I think we don't know officially yet. At least I'm not aware. I'd have to get this confirmed, but I don't think they are going with the CIF rankings this year for the playoffs. I think they're going back to the CalPreps deal, which I personally prefer. You know, going off the rating system. Now, obviously, it's a lot different than the old school. You know, class size or school size divisions. I just think the way schools are now in San Diego, especially with there not being a lot of big schools, and most schools are kind of the same size, you have to kind of go this new route. But even more so, like if you think about it from a standpoint of what the Southern section does. So let's talk about San Diego for a second. When they see the playoffs, assuming they go back to Cal Preps, they have everybody in divisions for the season starts, and then based on your power rating on Cal Preps, which incorporates everybody across the country. And I'm a big Cal Preps friend because I think they do a great job. And, you know, if they had Cal Preps for other sports, I'd be making tons of money on gambling because that's kind of what the formula was for. I mean, it was based on, you know, trying to pick games at the college and pro level. And I know there's still people that use the formula that they have, you know, that Cal Preps won't give out, but they do an unbelievable job predicting the scores of all these games. So they're very accurate in their rankings, and to the point where when they did the playoffs, I mean, during the open division, I mean, the top seeds would always make it to the finals, and every top seed would win in the first round, so they had to go down to four teams. I mean, that's how accurate it was. So as of right now, you get placed in your division based on the last 3 years, and CIF has a power ranking system for that. And then at the end of the season, based on how you did, you get a power rating, and then they seed accordingly per division. Now, the downside of that is if you have a really good year, a really good class for 2 years, and it falls off, all of a sudden you get bumped up with a squad that's not ready to play at the higher level. The Southern section, Jeff, and I'm going to let you kind of weigh the two options and let me you can tell me what you think is better. The Southern section has taken the CalPreps thing and has taken it a step further with the way that they determine their playoffs. They don't have anybody in a division before the season starts. So nobody has a division before the season starts. And what they do, and they have like 12 divisions up there, and they do 16-team playoffs, so that's kind of how they do it. But they use CalPreps at the end of the year, and the top 16 teams, and this is, again, this is kind of paraphrasing. There's a couple of tweaks to it and nuances with league champions and everything. But just general synopsis is, in the Southern section, the top 16 teams are in D1, or the open, whatever it is. Then the next 16 teams are in D2. And then so on and so forth through the D12, and that's how they seed their playoffs. So that brings up an interesting topic that I think that we could get into before we kind of finish the recap of week one is, and we mentioned University City specifically, you know, they have a really good year the last 2 years, but now they have to play up and they're stuck and they're locked in the division regardless of what their team is now. And we all know that high school teams are not like the NFL or college. You know, it's not the same team each and every year. I mean, you got a brand new team. So just on kind of the way I explained it, how would Jeff King pick a playoff format for San Diego high schools?
Well, on the surface, based on what you explained, because I never really was aware of the Southern section until now, I like that. That option in the sense that you take care of the kind of built-in variability we talked about with most programs. Like you said, like we said, there's only so few modern day, you know, Santa Ana and De La Salle or, you know, those kind of powerhouses where, you know, year in and year out, you know what to expect. They're going to win 10, 11 games. They're going to be a top, you know, 3 or 5 team in all of California and even some years in the nation. So I think by having that flexibility year in, year out, I think it's more of a fair read. You don't have this kind of built-in, you know, bias or preconceived notions in terms of, okay, what this team's going to do or based off of previous years. For like example, modern day, you know, back-to-back state champions, and they might have a successful year this year as well. But again, they lost a ton of talent, so, and they may potentially struggle. So having that ability to kind of just see where the chips fall during the year, I like that. And I think it's from a competitive standpoint, I think it's fair. You don't have a team that's locked in. You may have a team on the flip side. We talked about teams that maybe have two, you know, good years and down here. Might have a team that, let's just say, for instance, they were D3 the last couple of years, and they have this big, you know, senior class, and they kill D3 for the, you know, the third for that third year. Well, they might be in that position to be ready to go B1. That particular year. So I'm with you on that. I like that format, and I think it takes care of the variability that you see in high school football.
I like it too from the standpoint of, like, if you have a really good team and you know your squad's gonna be really good, you have an opportunity to play for the top deal. You don't have to, like, climb the leaderboard and kind of go on a consistent winning streak to try to win an open division title. Like teams like I don't think they were good enough to win an open division championship last year. But, you know, let's just take University City, for example. If they have a really good year and they got a really good class and, you know, they think they can go beat some of the top teams in San Diego, you know, they'd be given an opportunity to do so. Kind of like a Poway last year. You know, Poway had the benefit of being in a D1 school and have that opportunity last year. But, you know, that's kind of a good reward for a class that's expected to do well instead of, like, dominating at a lower level. And I think the same thing could be said about, you know, like UC this year, where UC this year is not going to be as good as they were last year. And I know they got a chip on their shoulder and they're going to play tough and they got a tough schedule and whatnot have you, but they're not getting completely punished for a team that they had the year before that they currently don't have. So I'm all in favor of that. I think that's the way to go. I know there's a lot of coaches on the fence about that and a lot of coaches that don't want to do that here in San Diego and kind of copy everything the Southern Section does. And I don't think we need to copy it, you know, completely, but I think that would be a nice little start. I also, I'm still in favor of, there's no such thing as a 4-team playoff. I mean, I hate it in college. I hate it in San Diego high school football. I think the top level needs to be 8 teams. I think you need to win 3 games to win a championship. So if I had it my way, I'd do the rating system on Cal Preps. I'd eliminate divisions until the end of the year. I'd seed the playoffs. We go top 8 in the open, next 12 all the way through, however divisions you want to do, and let's play and let's roll. But I thought it was an interesting topic of discussion that we could get into. I know a lot of people were talking about it, but, you know, that's kind of how I would view it and how I would go. Let's get back. Go ahead.
Quick question before we transition.
Yeah.
As a coach, because you said some coaches are on the fence about it and not sure. If you're a coach in this situation, let's say you're a D4 team and, you know, you've had 2 mediocre seasons or fairly decent seasons. And in this third year, you're kind of loaded. You got a big senior class, you're ready to go. If you stay in D4, you're probably going to win. But under that model, let's just say you have a kick-ass season and you know, outperform everyone, have this super good year, and you go in the playoffs undefeated, and you're bumped up, let's say D2, where your chances are not as good to win a title. As a coach, what would you want? Are you going all about the competition, or if you're insulated to have a better chance to win a division title, even if it might be lower, how do you view that?
Well, I mean, I think with the current format, I think it gives a lot of schools an opportunity to win. And it gives a lot of schools an opportunity to win a championship, especially the way enrollment is, right? Where, like, you know, back in the day, San Diego High had over 2,000 kids and they were a D1 school, but they were never going to win D1. And now they can win like D4, T5. You know, so that from that standpoint, it's been a good thing. The counter to that is now there's a lot of schools that win D4, D5 that think they could beat an open team, right? And it's just, and yes, they know that they're never going to have to play them. So it's just kind of like, oh, we would have beat you, yada, yada, yada. I think you have to view it as it is. Division one in San Diego has 16 teams, right? And the top four go to the open.
Yes.
So if you win D2, you're really the 17th best team in San Diego. You really are, because they base the divisions on how good you are, right? It's not based on your enrollment anymore. So I think, I mean, and nobody ever wants to view it like that, but the reality is D2 is 17th place, right? And I think, mm-hmm, if you win D1, you're really playing for fifth place, because you're in the same division as the four in the open, and they're battling it out at the top. I mean, if you took the third team in the open, what's saying they wouldn't win D1, right? It's not like the same divisions where it was based on enrollment. So to me, I mean, you start looking at it. So like, there's 16 teams in D1, and there's 16 teams in D2. So like, you win D3, you're in 33rd place. So that's how, mm-hmm, I kind of view it. So if I'm a coach, you know, I always want to, I think, and you know, I'm not a head coach yet, and I know there's building blocks and certain goals, but to me, if I was ever a head coach at any division, I think our ultimate goal needs to be, we want to play for an open championship. And I mean, like, that could be a long-term goal, right? I mean, if you're taking over a D5 program, and based on your resources and what you have, certain kids you have, you know, we should be constantly trying to work our way up so we could be the big dogs in San Diego. I mean, that's how I would view it. I mean, that's just, I don't know, maybe that's just my mentality. Maybe that's just the way I was raised. But to me, I want to win I want to be the best team in San Diego. And in order to do that, you got to be in Division One. You got to be in the open. So I don't understand schools that would rather win lower division championships than go compete at higher levels and really test themselves. And to me, that's how I would view it. I don't know if you have a different opinion on that. I mean, it's great to win championships, right? I mean, if winning D2 is considered a championship, I mean, you won a championship, but I think you should enjoy the opportunity and go do it. I don't want to take that away from the kids, but I don't know. To me, you know, if you're not trying to be in the highest division possible, I don't really think your end goal is correct.
No, I agree. If you're a true competitor, you know, at the highest level, I think you have to have that mindset. You know, all championships are not equal. I mean, obviously you won a championship, but I think if you're truly a competitor, and how you measure yourself by playing the best and by being the best. So the best is open division. So having that goal, I think, should be on everyone's list, whether it's short term or, like you said, long term. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like in college basketball, like you make a Sweet 16, you hang a banner, right? And same thing like a Final Four. Like going to the Final Four is like winning a national championship, and everything after that's kind of like a, you know, it's extra. Like if you're standing a state, I mean, you want a region in college basketball, it's such a fluke. I mean, it's basically a national championship. You get to hang a banner for a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, a Final Four. You make the open. I mean, just making the open should be like a goal. You should kind of, I mean, to me, I would view that as like a championship level thing. I mean, would you rather make the open or come in second in D1?
Yeah.
I'd rather make the open, right? I mean, yeah. I'd rather make the open and lose than win D1, because I want to be in the top. I'm in the top bracket. I'm in the top four. You know, I'd rather be in fourth place than fifth place. And, you know, I just don't know if that's necessarily the case for a lot of coaches and a lot of programs. But you know what? I mean, there's something to be said about holding the trophy at the end of the season, you know, and playing for a state championship, right? Because now everybody goes to the state that wins.
Yes.
So, you know, would you rather, you know, be in fourth in the open and lose when you could have been fifth in, you know, D1, the one seed, and then now you're going to state? I mean, I think there's something to be said about that as well.
For sure. For sure. I'm with you on that.
So very interesting topic of discussion. I think the Southern sections, you know, they usually make the most sense when it comes to competitiveness. And that's a big reason why they kind of call a lot of the shots for the rest of the state of California, including like the way that they do high school flag football, which is kind of cool. That's starting up this week. I was just leaving Cathedral. They were getting their the girls flag football was getting underway, which is awesome. At Cathedral, Jeff Garcia, the former 49er, and Eagle, and God, I forget, he played for a couple other teams in the NFL.
He played for a bunch of teams,
yeah. He's the head coach of the girls flag football team at Cathedral. His daughter's a sophomore. She's a quarterback. So I'm curious to see how they do. But I think it's going to be fun. I think it's great. I think it gives girls an opportunity to play this great game that they haven't had the opportunity to play before, aside from maybe one powder puff game against like the seniors if you're juniors, and to make it a CIF sport, I think is awesome.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely love that. That opportunity for these girls. You know, I've seen a few highlights on TV. And just like I said, giving them opportunity to play another sport and just go out there and be athletic and enjoy. So really, and you know, coming from a guy who has three daughters, you know, just seeing that is another opportunity for girls to kind of show off their skill set is really cool. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It gives you another sport in the fall. I mean, I thought it'd be very difficult to kind of pull off in the fall, but so far so good, you know, with refs and everything. But to me, I mean, that needs to be a sport with no cuts, and as many teams you can have, the better. It's a good way to grow the game even more than it's already growing. I mean, football's one of those only sports that's not, you know, doesn't have like a, you know, female version of it. You know, like basketball is the same, and baseball and softball, you know, they have that equal sport. So for football to have girls flag, I think is going to be fun. I think it's a great way to grow the most popular game in the United States. So hopefully a lot of girls play. Hopefully they have fun doing it. And at that time, it's great because, you know, in the fall right now, I think there's only a couple of girls sports, field hockey and cross country. And there's some girls that, you know, play basketball and softball and want to play a little football, throw the rock around. And it's a lot of throwing, though, too, Jeff. I mean, the rules are like NFL flags. So I was talking to one of the defensive coordinator, if you will, of the 7-on-7 flag football team for the girls. And he said, you get one run a drive and it can't be within 5 yards of a first down or a touchdown. So girls are going to be slinging the rock out there.
I love it. I love it. And again, you know, being a former athlete, you know, playing multiple sports is good for overall athletic development, and such a carryover between sports such as lacrosse and football. So a lot of these girls will be very successful at that, just because they play other sports that require athleticism and change of direction, things of that nature. So hopefully you get a lot of support for it, and it can be successful.
Let's talk about Friday's games. You know, a little bit longer of a breakdown of last week, just because we had so many games on so many different days. It's week one, and this is our first podcast of the year doing it on Spaces right now. And of course, we're going to post this on 97 The Fan's website. I'll have a preview article on every Friday. We're going to try to do this each and every Thursday live on the podcast via StreamYard. You know, some of that will have to depend on the Padres schedule, obviously, with us being hooked up with the 97 Through the Fan account. But that's kind of our plan right now. And we're going to be doing it probably each and every Thursday around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. We'll keep you guys posted on that. So everybody that's tuned in right now, thanks again for joining us. And then everybody that's listening on the podcast, we really appreciate it after this is officially wrapped. And I'm so used to doing podcasts on Thursday, Jeff. I had a little panic attack. Like I had to go up to Chaminade tomorrow and be ready for a football game. I do have to do it for JV. They host Chaminade tomorrow, but let's talk about some of the games on Friday. We briefly discussed Eric Weddle's first game at Rancho Bernardo. They lost to Poway 14-6. I think that was one of our better in-county games last week. A close one. I don't know if you were able to catch the PPR. They interviewed Eric Weddle after the game. It felt like a regular post-game press conference when he was playing for the San Diego Chargers, and it was a loss for the Chargers. I mean, he was like, we didn't do this well, we didn't do that well, and I think it's going to be fun to watch him stalk the sidelines this year.
Yeah, I love him as a player and his intensity. So it's going to be curious to see if he can bring that and instill that with his team. But, you know, based on what you said after the game, the post game, you know, he's going to wear his emotion on his sleeve and, you know, and take every game and put it all out there. And I think he hopes that his team can, you know, kind of go off of that and learn from, you know, what they did wrong, what they can do to improve to get a better result coming week.
But a battle on Pearl Street or whatever street in La Jolla, where La Jolla beat Bishops 41-19, a little rivalry game to get the season started, as well as RB and Poway. Had a lot of rivalry games that first week, Jeff, just because some of these schools that used to be in the same league are not in the same league anymore. Fallbrook over Vista, old school 90s rivalry game. The Fallbrook Warriors took Vista by 20 points. And then, of course, we had some other games throughout San Diego County. We talked about Del Norte beating Torrey Pines, Nick Barnett's first win of his coaching career. That's a big upset, you know, no matter what's going on with Torrey or Del Norte. But that's a big win for a Del Norte program that's still, you know, relatively new of a school in the last 15 years.
For sure, for sure. That's a great start to his regime, being a well-established school like Torrey. So I'm sure he's excited about that. And people around the program just excited to have him being a part of that staff, and hopefully get them to a position where they're competing for titles, if not this year, in the upcoming year. So big win, big start to the season for Del Norte.
We had two other ranked games. We mentioned the Cathedral Modern Day game. I mean, these are two top 25 in the county teams, according to CalPreps, two top 10 teams, according to CalPreps. Modern Day came in around number four. Cathedral was around 7 and 8. They basically flip-flopped in the rankings after the 55-14 win for the Dons. Modern Day, very young. Lot trying to replace a lot of older leadership and players that have won two state championships, but I know Coach John Joyner is going to get those guys ready to go. And then, you know, because they had a pretty good game, still had a lot of mistakes mixed in, like any other Week One game. But you know, a team that's trying to bounce back after a 6-6 year from a year ago.
Yeah, and you know, with Cathedral, you know, they're a perennial power here in San Diego. So I know a lot of people, most people expect them to have a very solid season and bounce back season from last year. They, as always, they ran a gauntlet of a schedule. So they struggled early and, you know, it was challenging for them. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if they see or if they go ahead and have one of their typical seasons where they win double digit victories. But you know, quick question for you in terms of preseason rankings, it's always, you know, doesn't mean a lot, not necessarily, but how much do you weigh or you think should be weighed on success from the previous season as opposed to what you're projecting currently what the student body or the football team actually has? Because I know a lot of people are saying, well, Lincoln, they won state titles, that's why they're number one, but a lot of people think that Carlsbad is a better team on paper just because they have more coming back, obviously, with Sain, you know, they're loaded offensively. But in your opinion, last season's success should carry over into a preseason rank.
Well, I think it's tough. And I think it's the same thing with college, too, right? College is a little bit, the writers in that are a little bit more biased. But, you know, I voted for. You know, I think Carlsbad is the best team in the county, flat out. I just think everything we got coming back, their quarterback who's, you know, committed to Alabama, you know, an Elite 11 guy. I mean, you know, ESPN didn't just show up if your team's not elite with an elite quarterback. And that's, you know, that's Carlsbad. And they're playing on ESPN2 on Saturday. So they're flat out, to me, they're the team to beat in the county. And then I think it's Lincoln. And you know what? I mean, after, you know, seeing the size of Granite Hills in that scrimmage against Lincoln, I think Granite Hills is the third best team in San Diego. And that's not the knock on other schools. I think Helix looked a lot better than they did last year in their first game against Edison. You know, Cathedral obviously looked really good in their first game. Their line a lot bigger and better than it was a year ago. Teams like Madison is always good. So it's tough to rank. But, you know, when I do my rankings, I mean, I usually – you know, and until somebody beats the defending champ or the top dog, I mean, they really are, you know, the top dog. And I try to put them near the top every single time, regardless of where they're at. And it's just so hard in high school. I mean, and the rankings change so drastically, you know, week to week. But even like the CalPreps ones, I mean, if you like the preseason CalPreps rankings, and I'm a big component for CalPreps. I think it's the best high school football website. You can see where everybody's ranked in the entire country. Max Preps uses the Cal Preps ranking system. So if you go on Max Preps, that's all Cal Preps ranking. They just pull from that website. But even them, I mean, their preseason's tough because it's a lot of kind of keeping it the same of where it's at. And then there's an algorithm based on how many four-star athletes you have, five-star athletes, three-star athletes, how many returners you have on both sides of the ball, how many linemen, impact players. And that's all based on a questionnaire that is handed out to all the coaches in California specifically. They have to send it back in to Ned Freeman, who runs CalPrep. So long story short, I'm not a big believer in the opening couple of rankings. And even CalPrep says on their website, you got to wait till October before, you know, they'll start putting out score predictions because they need data. We'll see how it's going to fluctuate a lot. I mean, you know, Cathedral doubled their rating after one win. I mean, they came in with a 15 point something power rating, which was going to equal them winning only three games, which we knew wasn't the case. And I think that's the same to be said about a lot of these schools early on. And we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks or so. But, you know, preseason ratings, I think they're overrated. You have to do them because people like them. They're fun. Kind of get a gauge who's going to be good and who's not. But mine are going to change a lot. And we'll get to our top tens in just a second.
Yeah, and honestly, preseason rankings, just they do what we're doing now. Gives us something to talk about. Whether it's college basketball, college football, we know a lot of things are going to change at some point.
I wanted to talk about Grossmont for a second. They won their first game in over like a year and a half. They went 0 for last year, and they won. And their last win was like November of 2021. They got Anthony Lawrence as their new head coach, former Grossmont Foothiller quarterback, went on to play at USD, played international for a little bit. He was playing in Japan, came back, helped out at USD, I think maybe the last 2 years, and now he's taken over at a very young age to be the head coach at Grossmont. He gets his first win for his Hillers as they beat San Diego High 34-14. Great to see Grossmont get their first win, obviously. See Lawrence get his first win and kind of start turning that program back around, one of the bigger programs out there in East County. That was kind of the last in-section game I wanted to talk about. We had a lot of teams playing out of section and some teams that played some really good teams out of section, starting with the Helix Highlanders. They hosted Edison. Edison was supposed to play Lahaina to start the season, and obviously with everything that happened in Maui and Lahaina with the wildfires and, still a lot of people missing and the tragedy and the natural disaster that was, a lot of things there. And we have our thoughts and prayers with the people of Lahaina and Maui, obviously with what they're going through. But, Edison was going to play two games out there in Hawaii. They had those canceled, obviously looking for a game, last minute game, and, Helix picked them up. So, they played Edison, and they ended up beating Edison 38-34. It's a big win for Helix. Edison, a good but not great Southern Section football team, but you know that's a big win for not only Helix but for the San Diego Section.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime you can, you know, take your team and play a school from LA, whether it's a prestigious school or a team like Edison, you always want to represent your city. And for Helix to win the exciting game and the way they did, it's good. It's good for Helix, but it's also good for the city of San Diego. And it's like we talked about, we have a lot of good football teams and players that have come out over the years. And that's also why I'm excited. Saturday's team comes back and Monday on television puts a light on San Diego football, high school football, which I think it's long overdue. You know, over the years, we've had some great teams and players. And, you know, so having two local teams being on a national stage like that, it's big. So having, you know, whenever there's an opportunity for a school from here, whether it's they play a school in NorCal or even L.A., you know, they definitely it's big for the city when they can get a win like that.
They got a big win. We had other schools playing out of section as well, or more importantly, against the Southern Section. The other big win was Carlsbad. They beat Inglewood 29-6. Inglewood, one of those teams on a state championship run last year, had their quarterback go to UCLA, but they had to replace a lot. And Carlsbad got a good win. I mean, that's a good football team up there, regardless of who they got playing for them. They went up and played at, I think, El Camino College or Orange Coast College, and beat Inglewood 29-6. That's a big win for San Diego as well. So those are two big wins for San Diego. Other wins that we got: Steel Canyon beat Heritage, which was good. They kind of owned Heritage the last couple of years. But aside from that, a lot of our teams played and had a tough time. Eastlake got shut out by Apple Valley. The Apple Valley team is really good. They got a lot of big dudes up there in the valley, and they won 25-0. Michigan Viejo beat El Camino 38-13. I think it's a valiant effort out of El Camino. That's a big football team up there in Oceanside, Jeff. We scrimmage against them. They got a lot of big dudes at all three levels and a lot of athletes. And they're going to be, I think, a force in the Avocado League. I don't know if they're good enough to win that league, but you know, they're definitely going to be beating some schools in traditionally one of the better leagues in San Diego County. The other one that we had that was notable, if I can find it, was Oceanside played San Juan Hills. They lost 31-10. But overall, you know, challenging ourselves out of section. I know it's very difficult to find games for a lot of our in-section schools, but not a bad effort out of San Diego schools going against some Orange County schools, which, by the way, I mean, the big difference up there is those schools are massive high schools with high enrollments, where we got a lot of high schools down here in San Diego. So not a lot of major size schools anymore.
Yeah, definitely. So that does, and it's just kind of a built-in challenge. But, you know, as, you know, coaches and teams down here, you want to welcome that. You know, you want to challenge yourself and you know, play, you know, good competition, and especially do it outside the section, because it will definitely prepare you for the league, you know. And that's why when you do schedule, you know, your schedule out, you want to challenge yourself, you know. See what you need to carry that into league play. So definitely excited to see teams here from San Diego challenge themselves and playing teams up in LA and even more so Northern California as well.
Big game on Saturday was Granite Hills and Mission Hills. Granite Hills looked pretty good. I think that was their big coming out party to San Diego and showing that their state championship last year was not really a fluke, but obviously something that is going to be something that Kellen Cobbs and company wants to shoot for every year. And I think they want to be in the open next year, or should I say this year. And they really set the tone by not only scheduling a good team in Mission Hills, but beating a good team in Mission Hills on TV. Granite looks big. They look fast. They look physical. They got athletic guys at the skill positions. They got big dudes up in the front, defensive seven, and on their offensive line. They got a sophomore. He's a freshman, but he's the age of a sophomore. He's one of those reclass guys playing quarterback. It's a pretty good, solid team, Granite Hills, and I think they're the team to beat right now out in East County. And I wouldn't be surprised if they sweep the Grossmont Hills League, a league that contains some heavy hitters out there in Steel Canyon, Grossmont, and Helix.
Yeah, they seem to be pretty well balanced, and you know, like you said, the success that they had last year, they're looking to carry that over. And you know, when you have experience that, you know, success that they did, you want to build on that. And you know, they had a great start, you know, in the game. So it was kind of a standalone game for the most part Saturday, and you know, they won. That's great for them to come out and win the way they did. So definitely going to keep my eye on throughout the season and see if they can kind of continue to build off the momentum of the great season that they had last year.
Let's talk about our top tens. I'll give you mine first, and we could talk about the writer's poll, if you will, but you know, we'll go through the top 10 via CalPreps. I mean, it's all different ways you can skin a cat nowadays. As for my vote for the top 10 this week, I still think Carlsbad's the team to beat. I got them number one. I think beating Inglewood was a was a big win for them. Kind of not that I needed them to prove that they're the best team. I knew they're the best team, but you know, they definitely proved it. Granite Hills, the win over Mission Hills, a big win. I give them the number two spot. It's tough to say because, you know, they scrimmaged Lincoln in that SDFNL kickoff classic where they kind of play a preseason game. Granite had a 14-7 lead. Sounded like Granite took their starters out. I don't really know what happened, so I'm not really viewing that as really a head-to-head matchup because it's a scrimmage. But I think Granite's win over Mission Hills is impressive. Then I got the Lincoln Hornets. I think they're going to be there at the end of the year. I think they're an open team for sure, and definitely the favorite right now in the Western League. A big win over Wainai. I got them at 3. I think Helix beating Edison goes a long way. I have them at 4. Cathedral, I got at 5 after beating Modern Day, followed by Madison at 6. I don't want to discredit El Camino for playing Mission Viejo. I mean, that's a huge powerhouse in Southern California. That's a team that can compete with the Trinity League year in and year out. So the fact that El Camino hung tough with Mission Viejo, I think goes a long way. And I like rewarding teams for playing tough competition. I got El Camino at 7. Mission Hills comes in at 8. A tough loss to Granite, but that's one of the better teams in the section. I got Saints at 9. Not a lot of people voted for Saints. I think Saints, even though they dismantled the Patrick Henry team, that's not going to be one of the top 10 teams in the county. I think they're loaded with talent. I think St. Augustine's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And they got Modern Day at number 10. I know they got blown out by Cathedral, but that's one of the top teams in San Diego. And again, I don't like punishing teams for playing a good schedule. So Carlsbad, Granite, Lincoln, Helix, Cathedral, Madison, El Camino, Mission Hills, St. Augustine, Modern Day. Who do you got in your top 10 this week?
Well, the top 6 is the same that I have, that you have. Number 7, I actually got Saints. I think Saints, and they were really, really young last year, but like you said, to echo your statement, they have tons of talent. So I'm really high on this team. So I have them at 7. I have Mission Hills at 8. Again, no shame in losing the way they did or losing to Granite Hills. I have them at 8. El Camino, I have 9. Again, tough loss, but against a good team. And then the top 10, I have Modern Day. Curious to see if they're going to stay in 10 after the next couple of weeks. We'll see. Obviously, they can do a lot for themselves if they somehow pull off the big upset against Carlsbad in a revenge game, actually, when they play. And we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, in a few minutes. But I have them rounding out 10. So pretty much in agreement, just with a few spots, 6 or 7 through 9. But again, it's early, so it's very fluent. I'm sure it's going to change in the next couple of weeks as well. So that's my top 10.
For reference on Cal Preps, they go Lincoln, Carlsbad, Granite, Madison, Cathedral, Mission Hills, Helix, Modern Day, El Camino, and La Costa Canyon. They got St. Augustine at number 12 based on the rating system. But St. Augustine had to make up a lot of ground from last year's ranking that they had. And that's going to obviously fluctuate throughout the year. We do have a lot of games tomorrow. We have about 8 games tomorrow. Most notable games I want to talk about. Probably Vista at Ramona. It's Ramona's first game of the year. They took week 0 off. They're ranked 15th, actually 13th, according to CalPreps, against Vista, who's coming off a loss. Vista obviously is going to be a work in progress, Jeff, because of everything that happened to them last year and just finally getting a head coach about a month ago or whatever it was, 2 months ago. They're really behind the eight ball. It's going to be a tough year for the Vista Panthers. That has really fallen off from what was Big Red up there in Vista for a long period of time. But I think that's the best game on Thursday. Let's talk about some of the games on Friday before we get any closer. Madison Steel Canyon sticks out to me. Poway St. Augustine. And we got an out-of-town game. Helix going up to the Bay Area to take on St. Francis, who is one of the top teams up in the Bay Area, Jeff. So that's a pretty 3 big games already this weekend.
Yeah, I have my eye on Poway and St. Augustine. We talked about the Saints, how much talent they have. So this is going to be a good little test for them against the Poway squad. We know the success that Poway had last year. Poway coming off the victory, kind of slugged their way through a victory over RB last week. So just want to see how those two teams match up. Let's see if Saints can continue the roll the way they did. You know, if they get a nice convincing victory this week against Poway, I think it's going to kind of get people's attention about how challenged this team is and what they could potentially do moving forward in the season.
Interesting thing with Helix and St. Francis, former assistant athletic director at Cathedral, Theron, went to Helix, now is the athletic director at St. Francis, scheduled a game with his alma mater. So we'll see how the Highlanders do up in the Bay Area against St. Francis. Cathedral is going to play Chaminade scouting report, really good senior class. They had a tough game against Oaks Christian, who is loaded with talent this year and always a good team. Cathedral will make the long drive up to Chaminade this weekend. Other games that kind of stick out to me, an interesting one, Script Ranch La Jolla. Jeff, we know about, as you know, work again in the Script Ranch community, we knew about that game a couple of years ago, that weird game at La Jolla where Scripps was taking a knee and somehow the ball got knocked out of the quarterback's hand and La Jolla ended up winning the game. They've had a nice little rivalry the last couple of seasons, Script Ranch La Jolla.
Sure have. You know, obviously, I think 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they met in the CIF championship game that La Jolla came out on top. But, yeah, you know, for Scripps, you know, right where I work at Fitness Quest 10, you know, discussing about them, they took their licks last year. You know, they were in a very, very tough division playing Cathedrals and Lincoln. And, you know, that was because of the success that they had the previous season. And it was tough. You know, losing their star quarterback at the beginning of the season, it was challenging. So, you know, they get moved down. So now they have a more favorable schedule. So they might have a pretty successful season moving forward. But yeah, seeing how those two teams have played over the years should be another competitive and spirited game between the two.
I think La Jolla probably gets them. At Del Norte, 17 in the city. Going against top 10 La Costa Canyon. Barnett going against the place that he used to coach at, if I'm not mistaken. He could have been at Carlsbad. I don't know that for a fact yet. But La Costa Canyon Del Norte should be a good battle between 1-0 schools. Barnett trying to get win number 2. Does he get it done on Friday?
I'm not sure. You know, I think I'm going to give La Costa the slight edge. You know, I think for Del Norte to win that game, you know, 2 in a row, would be huge. But I do think it's going to be a competitive game, but I think it comes out on top on this one. But, you know, I think I see it being a one-possession game. You know, they're going to be pumped up, but, you know, I give the edge to La Costa just by being at home. So I'm looking forward to that one, but I think they get it done and get it done by within 7 points.
Your Eastlake Titans, Jeff, are again outside the county. This time they're hosting Capistrano Valley, who's 1-0. That game's at 7 o'clock down in your neck of the woods. How do you think what do you think the Titans got to do to bounce back after a tough week? It's a tough game, tough team.
Man, it breaks my heart, man. Like I said, alumni 2001 through and through, Titan pride. They've been through a lot, man. At one point, they were the top team in South Bay and one of the top teams in all of, San Diego. But they've just gone through so much turmoil and change and just a lot of uncertainty, just a lot of ups and downs. There hasn't been really any type of stability there with players leaving and coaching. And it's just been a constant of instability. And when you have that, it's just hard to build any type of consistency and hard to, you know, have consistent success. So I think, you know, for them to bounce back, I think they just, you know, it sounds cliche, but just kind of get back to basics, you know, and hopefully that they kind of have gotten over the hump of being, you know, having this instability and kind of settle in with a coaching staff and just with, you know, players, you know, not leaving left and right. So, you know, like I said, being an alumni, you know, I'm really cheering for them. You know, I'm going to wear my Titans on my sleeve, and I hope they can get a big victory. But, you know, I know they faced a good team last week, but, you know, getting shut out, never good. So hopefully they can bounce back. You know, they did lose some talent last year as well, but, you know, I'm hopeful, but I don't know. I think they might come out and get another loss, unfortunately, to Allen. Out of section team and fall to 0-2, and hopefully, you know, things will get better. But right now, they're struggling to find an identity.
East Lake's power rating on CalPrep's 3.7. Capistrano Valley out of Mission Viejo is a 9, so a much winnable game. Capistrano Valley went 4-6 last year. So out of section, but an obtainable out of section game for East Lake. Trying to scroll down here so you can find some more games that really stick out. San Clemente is going to go down to Torrey Pines. That might be a tough game for Torrey this weekend. And coming up on Saturday, I think obviously the big game of the weekend. This one's on ESPN2. Modern Day Catholic at Carlsbad. Jeff, I know you're familiar with Modern Day Catholic the last couple of years, so I know you've paid attention to them. What does Modern Day Catholic have to do to try to bounce back and maybe knock off Carlsbad?
Well, you know, last year these teams played. It was a great game. Modern Day losing in overtime. You know, some questionable calls at the end that went in the favor of Carlsbad. And I'm just curious to see how does this team bounce back after getting, you know, shellacked, you know, by the Dons last week. I mean, you know, it's one thing to lose, but it's one thing to lose the way that they did. You know, they give up 55 points. No, there's a lot of change. We talked about the players, but also losing their offensive coordinator, Coach V. You know, shout out to Coach V, who's now at Malcolm Miguel, who got his first win last week. But it's a lot to ask. It's a tall task, and now it's a revenge game. So they're definitely going to be motivated to avenge a loss that they had last year at home to a Carlsbad team that we talked about is loaded. But, you know, for them to win, they got to start out quick. I don't see a scenario. If they get behind 2 scores early, I don't know if they have the horses and to really come back and make it a game. So I'm curious to see how they start out first quarter, first half, coming off the loss. Because if they get behind early, it might be another ugly game, honestly. And obviously, they're going to be on ESPN2, national television, so they want to make a good showing for the South Bay. But, you know, it can get ugly quick if they don't watch out. So it's imperative that they get off to a good start on both sides of the football, especially offensively, put some pressure on Carlsbad. You know, Carlsbad's going to score as explosive as they are with the weapons that they have and saying, you know, going to Alabama. So they're going to chuck it. They're going to put points. Not sure at this point in the season if Modern Day can keep up with them. So I'm going to be curious to see. I definitely favor Carlsbad to win this game, but I'm curious to see how much fight Modern Day will have. Two-time state champs. Let's see how they respond back emotionally after the really big-time loss at Cathedral last week.
Yeah, I think that game's going to be very interesting, to say the least. Obviously, you mentioned a lot of different things. On national television, times that our team is very few and far between, and most times when our schools are on TV, it's kind of like locally broadcasted. I put on national TV one time. My senior year, played Vista Marietta. It was on a Fox affiliate. Vista Marietta was like 11 in the country, and it's a different thing because you got TV timeouts and all sorts of stuff. So we'll see if that plays a factor. It usually does with high school kids because, you know, you line up for kickoff and they're sitting there going like, oh, we got to wait 2.5 minutes while we wait for this commercial break. So timeout coordinator, all the whole 9 yards. Should be a fun one. I can't wait to watch it on television. I guess, well, what time does that game start? Like 4 o'clock? Is that a night game? I'm going to the Aztec game too, so I'm gonna have to go find a TV and drop in on the Modern Day Carlsbad game on television on Saturday night. But very interesting to see that game, obviously. And I do have this one question though. You know, it's kind of like what I was just thinking about, and it's no disrespect to Modern Day Catholic, but do you think Bristol, Connecticut thought Carlsbad was playing like Modern Day Santa Ana when they booked that game? Wanted to see Julian Sand go against a top team. I mean, it is a school that you know, out in the West Coast that, you know, Bristol, Connecticut wouldn't really know too well.
You know, honestly, there might be a few people in that building that actually probably think that right. When they made that schedule, you know, thinking, oh, Modern Day, top team in all of California playing against Alabama commitment doing the same. So, you know, I was thinking about that honestly. They might be in a surprise when they don't see the red and white out there and see,
yeah, right?
You know, blue and gold, so to speak. I'm like, oh, okay, we weren't expecting this team, but we'll take it. You know, two San Diego teams, and like we talked about before, I'm all for that, you know, putting San Diego on a national scene. So too bad they couldn't see the game last year. Last year was a very exciting game. And I'm hopeful that this year's will be something similar, but I just don't know if Monterey Day is ready at this point in the season to give that type of performance like they did last year, where it went down to overtime and kind of went back and forth. But hopefully I'm wrong, but initial thoughts, I see, you know, Carlsbad winning this game, you know, two or three touchdowns, unfortunately. But again, you know, being on national television, I'm sure they're going to be pumped up about that. And they have the revenge angle, you know, but they're going on the road. It gets a very tough team. So it's a tough ask for Modern Day. But, you know, like I said, there's still talent on the team. It just might take a few games to get them to gel and then develop. But it should be interesting to see come Saturday, ESPN2.
Let's get McMillan the rock, man. Let him pound the rock. Control the clock. Keep Julian staying off the field. That'd be my game plan.
There you go. There you go. That's why they pay you the big bucks, Tom Brady.
That's right. But I'm not an offensive coordinator. hopefully that's the, you know, it's a close game. We can see a nice game on national television. You going to make it out to any games this weekend? Any games you're looking at that we didn't mention?
No, I'm not sure. You know, having three girls and soccer and all that stuff makes it a little challenging sometimes. But if my day game was in the area where I live, I might go out there. But, you know, it's all obviously in Carlsbad. But I don't know yet. I'm going to look at the schedule and see. You know, definitely with doing this podcast, I'm going to kind of make my presence felt and see the talent that's out there. I'm not sure. Are you going to be at the Carlsbad game?
No, I'll be watching San Diego State, but I'll have that game on the TV at the club area, so go check that out and watch it. I'm going to be up the we're leaving early on Friday morning, or really kind of like noontime, to get up to Chaminade up in the west of this area. That will be where I will be on.
I mean, two local teams being on a national stage like that, it's big. So having, you know, whenever there's an opportunity for a school from here, whether it's they play a school in NorCal or even LA, you know, they definitely, it's big for the city when they can get a win like that.
They got a big win. We had other schools playing out of section as well, or more importantly, against the Southern section. The other big win was Carlsbad. They beat Englewood 29-6. Englewood, one of those teams on a state championship run last year, had their quarterback go to UCLA, but they had to replace a lot. And Carlsbad got a good win. I mean, that's a good football team up there, regardless of who they got playing for them. They went up and played at, I think, El Camino College or Orange Coast College, and beat Englewood 29-6. That's a big win for San Diego as well. So those are two big wins for San Diego. Other wins that we got: Steel Canyon beat Heritage, which was good. They've owned Heritage the last couple of years. But aside from that, a lot of our teams played and had a tough time. East Lake got shut out by Apple Valley. Apple Valley team is really good. They got a lot of big dudes up there in the valley, and they won 25-0. Michigan Viejo beat El Camino 38-13. I think it's a valiant effort out of El Camino. That's a big football team up there in Oceanside, Jeff. We scrimmage against them. They got a lot of big dudes at all three levels and a lot of athletes. And they're going to be, I think, a force in the Avocado League. I don't know if they're good enough to win that league, but, you know, they're definitely going to be beating some schools in traditionally one of the better leagues in San Diego County. The other one that we had that was notable, if I can find it, was Oceanside played San Juan Hills. They lost 31-10. But overall, you know, challenging ourselves out of section. I know it's very difficult to find games for a lot of our in-section schools, but not a bad effort out of San Diego schools going against some Orange County schools, which, by the way, I mean, the big difference up there is those schools are massive high schools with high enrollments, where we got a lot of high schools down here in San Diego. So not a lot of major size schools anymore.
Yeah, definitely. So that does, and it's just kind of a built-in challenge. But, you know, as, you know, coaches and teams down here, you want to welcome that. You know, you want to challenge yourself and you know, play, you know, good competition and especially do it outside the section, because it will definitely prepare you for the league, you know. And that's why when you do schedule, you know, your schedule out, you want to challenge yourself. You know, see what you need to carry that into league play. So definitely excited to see teams here from San Diego challenge themselves and playing teams up in L.A. and even more so Northern California as well.
Big game on Saturday was Granite Hills and Mission Hills. Granite Hills looked pretty good. I think that was their big coming out party to San Diego and showing that their state championship last year was not really a fluke, but obviously something that is going to be something that Kellen Cobbs and company wants to shoot for every year. And I think they want to be in the open next year, or should I say this year. And they really set the tone by not only scheduling a good team in Mission Hills, but beating a good team in Mission Hills on TV. Granite looks big. They look fast. They look physical. They got athletic guys at the skill positions. They got big dudes up in the front, defensive seven, and on their offensive line. They got a sophomore. He's a freshman, but he's the age of a sophomore. He's one of those reclass guys playing quarterback. It's a pretty good, solid team, Granite Hills, and I think they're the team to beat right now out in East County. And I wouldn't be surprised if they sweep the Grossmont Hills League, a league that contains some heavy hitters out there in Steel Canyon, Grossmont, and Helix.
Yeah, they seem to be pretty well balanced, and you know, like you said, the success that they had last year. They're looking to carry that over, and you know, when you have experience that, you know, success that they did, you want to build on that. And you know, they had a great start, you know, in the game. So it was kind of a standalone game for the most part, Saturday, and you know, they won. That's great for them to come out and win the way they did. So definitely going to keep my eye on throughout the season and see if they can kind of continue to build off the momentum of the great season that they had last year.
Let's talk about our top tens. I'll give you mine first, and we could talk about the writers' poll, if you will. But you know, we'll go through the top ten via CalPreps. I mean, it's all different ways you can skin a cat nowadays. As for my vote for the top ten this week, I still think Carlsbad's the team to beat. I got them number one. I think beating Inglewood was a big win for them. You know, kind of not that I needed them to prove that they're the best team. I knew they're the best team, but you know, they definitely proved it. Granite Hills, the win over Mission Hills, a big win. I give them the number two spot. You know, it's tough to say because, you know, they scrimmaged Lincoln in that SDFNL kickoff classic where they kind of play a preseason game. Granite had a 14-7 lead. Sounded like Granite took their starters out. I don't really know what happened, so I'm not really viewing that as really a head-to-head matchup because it's a scrimmage. But I think Granite's win over Mission Hills is impressive. Then I got the Lincoln Hornets. I think they're going to be there at the end of the year. I think they're an open team for sure, and definitely the favorite right now in the Western League. You know, a big win over Wainai. I got them at three. I think Helix beating Edison goes a long way. I have them at four. Cathedral, I got at five after beating Modern Day, followed by Madison at six. I don't want to discredit El Camino for playing Mission Viejo. I mean, that's a huge powerhouse in Southern California. That's a team that can compete with the Trinity League year in and year out. So the fact that El Camino hung tough with Mission Viejo, I think goes a long way. And I like rewarding teams for playing tough competition. I got El Camino at seven. Mission Hills comes in at eight. A tough loss to Granite, but that's one of the better teams in the section. I got Saints at nine. Not a lot of people voted for Saints. I think Saints, even though they dismantled the Patrick Henry team, that's you know, not going to be one of the top 10 teams in the county. I think they're loaded with talent. I think St. Augustine's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I got Modern Day at number 10. I know they got blown out by Cathedral, but that's one of the top teams in San Diego. And again, I don't like punishing teams for playing a good schedule. So Carlsbad, Granite, Lincoln, Helix, Cathedral, Madison, El Camino, Mission Hills, St. Augustine, Modern Day. Who do you got in your top 10 this week?
Well, the top six is the same that I have, that you have. Number seven, I actually got Saints. I think Saints, and they were really, really young last year. But like you said, to echo your statement. They have tons of talent. So I'm really high on this team. So I have them at 7. I have Mission Hills at 8. Again, no shame in losing the way they did or losing to Granite Hills. I have them at 8. El Camino have 9. Again, tough loss, but against a good team. And then the top 10, I have Modern Day. Curious to see if they're going to stay in the in 10 after the next couple of weeks. We'll see. Obviously, they can do a lot for themselves if they somehow pull off the big upset against Carlsbad in a revenge game, actually, when they play. And we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, in a few minutes. But I have them rounding out 10. So pretty much in agreement, just with a few spots, you know, 6 or 7 through 9. But again, it's early, so it's very fluent. I'm sure it's going to change in the next couple of weeks as well. So that's my top 10.
For reference on Cal Preps, they go Lincoln, Carlsbad, Granite, Madison, Cathedral, Mission Hills, Helix, Modern Day, El Camino, and La Costa Canyon. They got St. Augustine at number 12 based on the rating system. But St. Augustine had to make up a lot of ground from last year's ranking that they had. And that's going to obviously fluctuate throughout the year. We do have a lot of games tomorrow. We have about 8 games tomorrow. Most notable games I want to talk about. Probably Vista at Ramona. It's Ramona's first game of the year. They took week 0 off. They're ranked 15th, actually 13th, according to CalPreps, against Vista, who's coming off a loss. Vista, obviously, is going to be a work in progress, Jeff, because of everything that happened to them last year and just finally getting a head coach about a month ago or whatever it was, 2 months ago. They're really behind the eight ball. It's going to be a tough year for the Vista Panthers. That has really fallen off from what was Big Red up there in Vista for a long period of time. But I think that's the best game on Thursday. Let's talk about some of the games on Friday before we get any closer. Madison Steel Canyon sticks out to me. Poway St. Augustine. And we got an out-of-town game. Helix going up to the Bay Area to take on St. Francis, who is one of the top teams up in the Bay Area, Jeff. So that's a pretty 3 big games already this weekend.
Yeah, I have my on Poway and St. Augustine. We talked about the Saints, you know, how much talent they have. So this is going to be a good little test for them against the Poway squad. We know the success that Poway had last year. You know, Poway coming off the victory, kind of slugged their way through a victory over RB last week. So just want to see how those two teams match up. Let's see if Saints can continue the roll the way they did. You know, if they get a nice convincing victory this week against Poway, I think it's going to kind of get people's attention about how talented this team is and what they could potentially do moving forward in the season.
Interesting thing with Helix and St. Francis, former assistant athletic director at Cathedral, Theron, went to Helix, now is the athletic director at St. Francis, scheduled a game with his alma mater. So we'll see how the Highlanders do up in the Bay Area against St. Francis. Cathedral is going to play Chaminade scouting report, really good senior class. They had a tough game against Oaks Christian, who is loaded with talent this year and always a good team. Cathedral will make the long drive up to Chaminade this weekend. Other games that kind of stick out to me, an interesting one, Scripps Ranch La Jolla. Jeff, we know about, as you know, work again in the Scripps Ranch community, we knew about that game a couple of years ago, that weird game at La Jolla where Scripps was taking a knee and somehow the ball got knocked out of the quarterback's hand and La Jolla ended up winning the game. They've had a nice little rivalry the last couple of seasons, Scripps Ranch La Jolla.
Sure have. You know, obviously, I think 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they met CIF championship game that La Jolla came out on top. But, yeah, you know, for Scripps, you know, right where I work at Fitness Quest 10, you know, discussing about them, they took their licks last year. You know, they were in a very, very tough division playing Cathedrals and Lincoln. And, you know, that was because of the success that they had the previous season. And it was tough. You know, losing their star quarterback at the beginning of the season, it was challenging. So, you know, they get moved down. So now they have a more favorable schedule. So they might have a pretty successful season moving forward. But, yeah, seeing how those two teams have played over the years should be another competitive and spirited game between the two.
I think La Jolla probably gets him. At Del Norte, 17 in the city, going against top 10 La Costa Canyon. Barnett going against the place that he used to coach at, if I'm not mistaken. He could have been at Carlsbad. I don't know that for a fact yet. But La Costa Canyon, Del Norte should be a good battle between 1-0 schools. Barnett trying to get win number two. Does he get it done on Friday?
I'm not sure. You know, I think I'm going to give La Costa the slight edge. You know, I think for Del Norte to win that game, you know, two in a row, that would be huge. But I do think it's going to be a competitive game, but I think La Costa comes out on top on this one. But, you know, I think I see it being a one-possession game. You know, they're going to be pumped up, but, you know, I give the edge to La Costa just by being at home. So I'm looking forward to that one, but I think they get it done. And get it done by within 7 points.
Your Eastlake Titans, Jeff, are again outside the county. This time they're hosting Capistrano Valley, who's 1-0. That game's at 7 o'clock down in your neck of the woods. How do you think the what do you think the Titans got to do to bounce back after a tough week? It's a tough game, tough team.
Man, it breaks my heart, man. Like I said, alumni, 2001 through and through, Titan pride. They've been through a lot, man. At one point, they were the top team in South Bay and one of the top teams in all of, you know, San Diego. But they've just gone through so much turmoil and change and just a lot of just, you know, uncertainty, and just a lot of ups and downs. There hasn't been really any type of stability there with players leaving and coaching. And just it's just been a constant of instability. And when you have that, it's just hard to build any type of consistency and hard to, you know, have consistent success. So I think, you know, for them to bounce back, I think they just, you know, it sounds cliche, but just kind of get back to basics, you know, and hopefully that they kind of have gotten over the hump of being, you know, having this instability and kind of settle in with a coaching staff and just with, you know, players, you know, not leaving left and right. So, you know, like I said, being an alumni, you know, I'm really cheering for them. You know, I'm going to wear my Titans on my sleeve, and I hope they can get a big victory. But, you know, I know they faced a good team last week, but, you know, getting shut out, never good. So hopefully they can bounce back. You know, they did lose some talent last year as well, but, you know, I'm hopeful, but I don't know. I think they might come out and get another loss, unfortunately, to Allen. Out of section team and fall to 0-2, and hopefully, you know, things will get better. But right now, they're struggling to find an identity.
Eastlake's power rating on CalPrep's 3.7. Capistrano Valley out of Mission Viejo is a 9, so a much winnable game. Capistrano Valley went 4-6 last year, so out of section, but an obtainable out of section game for Eastlake. Trying to scroll down here so you can find some. More games that really stick out. San Clemente is going to host, are going to go down to Torrey Pines. That might be a tough game for Torrey this weekend. And coming up on Saturday, I think obviously the big game of the weekend. This one's on ESPN2. Modern Day Catholic at Carlsbad. Jeff, I know you're familiar with Modern Day Catholic the last couple of years, so I know you've paid attention to them. What does Modern Day Catholic have to do to try to bounce back and maybe knock off Carlsbad?
Well, you know, last year these teams played. It was a great game. Modern Day losing in overtime. You know, some questionable calls at the end that went in the favor of Carlsbad. And I'm just curious to see how does this team bounce back after getting, you know, shellacked, you know, by the Dons last week. I mean, you know, it's one thing to lose, but it's one thing to lose the way that they did. You know, they give up 55 points. No, there's a lot of change. We talked about the players, but also losing their offensive coordinator, Coach V. You know, shout out to Coach V, who's now at Malcolm Miguel, who got his first win last week. But it's a lot to ask. It's a tall task, and now it's a revenge game. So they're definitely going to be motivated to avenge a loss that they had last year at home to a Carlsbad team that we talked about is loaded. But, you know, for them to win, they got to start out quick. I don't see a scenario. If they get behind 2 scores early, I don't know if they have the horses and to really come back and make it a game. So I'm curious to see how they start out first quarter, first half, coming off the loss. Because if they get behind early, it might be another ugly game, honestly. And obviously they're going to be on, you know, ESPN to national television. So they want to make a good showing for the South Bay. But, you know, it can get ugly quick if they don't watch out. So it's imperative that they get off to a good start on both sides of the football, especially offensively, put some pressure on Carlsbad. You know, Carlsbad's on the score, as explosive as they are with the weapons that they have, and saying, you know, going to Alabama. So they're going to chuck it. They're going to put points. Not sure at this point in the season if Modern Day can keep up with them. So I'm going to be curious to see. I definitely favor Carlsbad to win this game, but I'm curious to see how much fight Modern Day will have. Two-time state champs. Let's see how they respond back emotionally after the really big-time loss at Cathedral last week.
Yeah, I think that game's going to be very interesting, to say the least. Obviously, you mentioned a lot of different things. On national television, times that our team is very few and far between, and most times when our schools are on TV, it's kind of like locally broadcasted. I put on national TV one time. My senior year, played Vista Marietta. It was on a Fox affiliate. Vista Marietta was like 11 in the country, and it's a different thing because you got TV timeouts and all sorts of stuff. So we'll see if that plays a factor. It usually does with high school kids because, you know, you line up for kickoff and they're sitting there going like, oh, we got to wait 2.5 minutes while we wait for this commercial break. So timeout coordinator, all the whole nine yards. Should be a fun one. I can't wait to watch it on television. I guess, well, what time does that game start? Like 4 o'clock? Is that a night game? I'm going to the Aztec game too, so I'm gonna have to go find a TV and drop in on the modern day Carlsbad game on television on Saturday night. But very interesting to see that game, obviously. And I do have this one question though. You know, it's kind of like what I was just thinking about. And it's no disrespect to modern day Catholic, but do you think Bristol, Connecticut thought Carlsbad was playing like modern day Santa Ana when they booked that game? Wanted to see Julian Sand go against a top team. I mean, it is a school that you know, out in the West Coast that, you know, Bristol, Connecticut wouldn't really know too well.
You know, honestly, there might be a few people in that building that actually probably think that right. When they made that schedule, you know, thinking, oh, modern day top team in all of California playing against Alabama commitment doing the same. So, you know, I was thinking about that honestly. They might be in a surprise when they don't see the red and white out there and see,
yeah, right,
you know, blue and gold, so to speak. I'm like, oh, okay, we weren't expecting this team, but we'll take it. You know, two San Diego teams, and like we talked about before, I'm all for that, you know, putting San Diego on a national scene. So too bad they couldn't see the game last year. Last year was a very exciting game. And I'm hopeful that this year's will be something similar, but I just don't know if Modern Day is ready at this point in the season to give that type of performance like they did last year, where it went down to overtime and kind of went back and forth. But hopefully I'm wrong, but initial thoughts, I see, you know, Carlsbad winning this game, you know, 2 or 3 touchdowns, unfortunately. But again, you know, being on national television, I'm sure they're going to be pumped up about that. And they have the revenge angle, you know, but they're going on the road. It gets a very tough team, so it's a tough ask for Modern Day. But you know, like I said, there's still talent on the team. It just might take a few games to get them to gel and then develop. But it should be interesting to see come Saturday, ESPN2.
Let's get McMillan the rock, man. Let him pound the rock, control the clock, keep Julian staying off the field. That'd be my game plan.
There you go. That's why they pay you the big bucks, huh, Brady?
That's right. But I'm not an offensive coordinator. hopefully that's the, you know, it's a close game. We can see a nice game on national television. You gonna make it out to any games this weekend? Any games you're looking at that we didn't mention?
No, I'm not sure. You know, having 3 girls and soccer and all that stuff makes it a little challenging sometimes, but if my day game was in the area where I live, I might go out there, but you know, it's all obviously in Carlsbad, but I don't know yet. I'm gonna look at the schedule and see, you know, definitely with doing this podcast, I'm gonna kind of make my presence felt and see the talent that's out there. Yeah, I'm not sure. Are you gonna be at the Carlsbad game?
No, I'll be watching San Diego State, but I'll have that game on in the TV at the club area, so go check that out and watch it. I'm gonna be up the we're leaving early on Friday morning, or really kind of like noontime, to get up to Chaminade up in the west of this area. That will be where I will be on Friday night to take on the Chaminade Eagles. So that will be a tough match, a good game for us, and you know, hopefully San Diego teams come out with the win. Got a lot of San Diego teams going against some Southern Section teams again. So we'll see how it goes. Jeff, thanks again as always. We'll be tuned in next week. We'll do more of a traditional podcast if we have time. If not, we always got the Twitter spaces. All of you that joined us today, we really appreciate it. Anybody that's listening on the podcast, thanks again for joining us. We will be doing these live via StreamYard or on Twitter spaces. If you want to be active on the show, you can follow me on social media at B_SURP. You can follow Jeff at, was it Coach King?
Coach Jeff King, yes.
Coach Jeff King on social media as well. And keep right here when we talk anything high school football on the High School Football Podcast on 97.3 The Fan. For Jeff King, I'm Brayden Sprint. Thanks again for tuning in. We look forward to talking to you next week. Enjoy the games out there this weekend, and talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you, guys.